important subject, I think, that's probably been in our minds and our hearts in these last few months, especially. And it's on the subject of hanging in there, of not giving up. And I was reading this past week one of the indicators of that, a universal symbol that when two armies are engaged in any kind of conflict, and one begins waving a white flag that, you know what they're doing, they're, one of them are giving up. One of them are throwing in the towel and they're admitting defeat. They're surrendering. I don't know if that's how it's done in real life wars anymore or not, but it's how it's done in the movies. And the white flag means that there's a winner and there's a loser. And so we also see this in the world of boxing. I'm a boxing fan. I love boxing. And you see that. I was watching a boxing match the other night, in fact, on ESPN. One of the guys that was boxing, he just had it. He was running out of steam. He was running out of energy. And the other fellow just had too much of an advantage against him. And so in between rounds, and they were up to about the fifth round, the trainer threw onto the middle of the floor of the boxing ring a white flag saying that this guy had given up. Well, at some point, we'll have opportunity to wave the flag and toss in the towel in just about every area of life. At some point, we have this tendency to want to do that. We have this tendency of wanting to give up in our businesses and our financial goals. Some want to give up in their marriages. Some want to give up in their weight loss ambitions. Some people want to give up in every realm almost. And they say, that's it. That's all. I'm done with it. And then we move on to something else, or perhaps we move on to nothing else, which can even be a little even more disturbing than that. Well, with this in mind this morning, I want us, as we begin a three, maybe four-part series of messages on called Steady On. It's what I'm calling this message series from this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. There's just three verses here that I believe can be life-changing, that can be life-altering when we put our minds to it. Designed to keep us from losing heart. Designed to keep us from throwing in the towel. To prevent us from yielding to despair and yielding to discouragement. And the purpose of this series is to prevent us not only from throwing in the towel, using that as a metaphor, if you will, but from even thinking about throwing in the towel. If I were to ask any of you here this morning, or all of you, have you ever been to a point in your life where you just thought, I'm going to throw in the towel, I give up. Enough is enough. I can't take it anymore. I can't go on anymore. I'm sure if I were to do a survey, at least every single one of us at one point or another in our lives would have said that. And we would have affirmed that we felt like giving up. But it's always too soon to quit. And I remember a professor once in college, I went to him one day and I said, you know, this is not for me. I'm not really an academic person anyway. And I'm not really that smart. And so I think I'm going to give up. I think I'm just going to go back home to Nova Scotia and I'm going to just do what my dad does. Work in the woods or in the sawmill or on the farm, and that'll be it. And I remember my professor telling me at that point, he said, John, you gotta keep on keeping on. You gotta keep your hands on the plow, if you will. And of course, I didn't know it, but he was quoting from Jesus, who talked about keeping his hands on the plow and looking straight ahead. And that bit of advice has helped me a lot over the years. To look straight ahead. To not throw in the towel. It's very easy to throw in the towel. It's very easy to quit. It's very easy just to say, I give up. I don't want to have anything to do with this anymore. And I'm just going to do my own thing. It's very easy to do that. Do you know? I want us to think about the Apostle Paul for a minute. Think about some of the things he faced. And if you were in his shoes, how would you like to face some of the things that he faced and say, well, you know, I'm going to give up, or I'm not going to give up? On 5 different occasions, we're told in the New Testament, Paul was beaten with a whip, receiving 39 lashes each time. Now, here's an interesting fact. That back in the day of the Apostle Paul, it was customary to give 39 lashes. Because if you gave 40 lashes, that would mean that that person would die. Just wanted it to be so that there was a little bit of life left in that person. On 5 different occasions, the Apostle Paul was whipped and lashed 39 times. If it had gone 40 times, there would not be an Apostle Paul anymore. And so, 3 times he was beaten with rods. Once he was pelted with stones and left for dead. 3 times, as we're told in the book of Acts, he was shipwrecked. Once he spent a day and a night drifting out on the seas, aimlessly, with no place to go, and not knowing where he was. He was also betrayed, and he was abandoned by so-called, quote-unquote, friends. He was the target of religious hypocrites. He was also the target of a hostile government. He was criticized among the churches. And he was often broke. He had no money, and not too many people did back then. He was cold, and he was hungry. His life was not easy. His life was a shipwreck in many, many ways. A lesser man might have given up much earlier in the game. I don't know if I would have been able to go through 1% of all that Paul went through. Like after the first beating, or maybe even after missing the first meal, not only did the Apostle Paul refuse to quit, he refused to even think about quitting. That's how determined he was. He refused to surrender to despair. He would not, he could not lose heart. And as you read the first verse here of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, that was on Paul's mind. He said this, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we received mercy, we do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. We do not give up. We move on. We press forward. So his life was not easy, and neither should we give up. Neither should you or I throw in the towel, considering all the goodness, all the grace, and all the blessings that God has for us. It's far too soon to even think about it, to ponder it, to give it the time of day. It's far too soon. So I want us to look at these 3 verses that will be the foundation for what I want to share the next 3 or 4 Sundays. And Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he is sharing his heart. And he says it again in verse number 16. Therefore we do not lose heart, he says. But though our outer man is decaying, Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Our inner man is being renewed day by day. Now, I'm going to split this one verse up, and I'm going to talk about the first half of today and the next half of next Sunday. And I want to talk about what it means to renew your mind. What it means to be renewed inwardly by the Spirit of God. And how important that is for us as we serve Him in these days. Verse 17, Paul says, "For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison." I want us to think about what Paul means by that. And then verse 18, my favorite of all. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal." Those are powerful words. And I believe God has a message for us as we consider His Word in these days. So today I want us to look at just verse 16 for a few minutes. And I want us to think about three things. And there are three don't lose heart realities, if you will. If you want to call it that. Not to lose heart. Not to give up. Not to throw in the towel. And there are three things here for us to take home and be encouraged by as we sometimes go through these times in our own lives. The first thing I want to share with you is this. It comes out of this one verse in verse number 16. And it's this thought that life is a daily event. Well, that's pretty basic. Pretty simple. That life is but a daily event. Some people say, well, life is a daily grind. And it is a grind. Some people say that life is a daily hassle. And it can be a daily hassle. Some people think that life is just boring. And it can be boring. And by daily event, I mean it's a daily challenge. And you can even say that life is but a daily battle for some of us. That every single day, we're facing one obstacle after another. Every single day, we're facing one challenge, one battle, one roadblock, if you will, that comes up. One after one, day after day, time and time again. And it may seem bogglingly, I'm not sure if that's a word or not, bogglingly, but it may seem mind-bogglingly to say that life is a daily event. But even more mind-boggling is the way we allow ourselves to believe that it isn't. How many times do we catch ourselves thinking that sometime we'll get to the point in life where we're on a cruise control and it stays on cruise control the rest of the way, the rest of our days. When we've conquered all of our problems and life is perpetually like the last 5 minutes of a feel-good movie. Well, we all know that these feel-good movies may not be so feel-good after all. But it never happens. Not for you. Not for me. Not for anybody. Not even for the richest person in the world. Last Sunday, how many of you read or maybe saw on TV this guy, that one of the richest guys in the world, he got on a plane and he went out into space and he was there in space for about, what, 3 minutes or so? And how many billions of dollars did he spend just to be able to do that? And to be able to say that he was the first guy in history ever to be a tourist in space. Well, now there's other rich guys that are wanting to do it. And there are other people wanting to go out into space. Not just for 3 minutes, but for 3 hours and maybe 3 days and maybe 3 weeks. Who knows how long it's going to be. I'd probably go if I had the opportunity to go into space for a minute or two. I don't know, would you? Sounds like a lot of fun. But I'm not sure I would be willing to pay $3 billion to go out into space for 3 minutes. That just seems a little bit preposterous to me. You see, we'll never get to the point where we can say, I'll be smooth sailing from here on out. Life is a daily event. No matter how you stack it up, no matter how you look at it, it is a daily grind, which is to say that life is and can be a daily battle. Paul acknowledged this in his first letter to Corinthians when he's talking about all the turmoil going on in his life. I'd encourage you to go home and read 1 Corinthians and read 2 Corinthians. So 1 Corinthians is sort of the foundation to 2 Corinthians. And Paul is addressing the church in Corinth. And that church in Corinth had a lot of problems. It had a lot of issues. It had a lot of theological issues. It had a lot of moral issues. People who were thinking they were serving Christ, but really they were serving the devil. And so Paul shares these words, especially in 1 Corinthians 15:31, and he says, I die daily. What in the world does that mean? I die daily. Another way to translate it is, I face death on a daily basis. I face death on a daily basis. He's saying, in effect, that the troubles of life come at every single turn in life. Troubles of life will come, no matter what. If your objective is to get a handle on your physique, if your objective is to get a handle on your conversations, if your objective is to get a handle on your relationships with other people, you already know that it is a daily challenge. You cannot improve your health by doing healthy things only 1 or 3 days out of 7. It has to be every day. It is a continuous grind. It is a continuous challenge. If your objective is to strengthen your marriage, well, you've got to say, well, you know, I'm not just going to work on my marriage on Saturday. It has to be worked on every single day of the week. Every opportunity that comes your way. You already know that it's an everyday endeavor. You can't just be nice to your spouse 2 or 3 times a week. You've got to be nice to your spouse every day. If you're not, you're in trouble. And it's every single day. So here's my point. If you want to be the type of person who will never lose heart, think of that word, losing heart, and the significance of losing heart. Because if you lose heart, you lose a lot. If you lose heart, you're in trouble yourself. And you need a kickstart. You need a little infusion of the Holy Spirit of God within you so that you might be fully devoted and fully, wholeheartedly in love with God, in love with people, in love with who you are before Him, in love with His Word, and so on. If you want to be the type of person who will never lose heart, who will never yield to despair, you begin with this reality check. And I would suggest that this reality check, we all need to take it every day. You remind yourself that the problems of life will never come after me every single day, and I will deal with them every single day. And there are some people who have that burden to carry every single day. The Apostle Paul had what he called a thorn in the flesh. And that thorn in the flesh was with Paul every single day. From the time he rose to the time he fell asleep at night. That thorn in the flesh was something that drug Paul down. And many times as we read the writings of Paul, the epistles of the New Testament, you can almost hear that coming out. in his thinking, in his voice, in his demeanor, and what he was trying to communicate. You see, we don't want that thorn in the flesh, and although for every single one of us, by the way, we have a thorn in the flesh of one kind or another, whether we realize it or not. And it's that thorn in the flesh that can cause us to lose heart. And Paul says, do not lose heart. Don't lose heart. Everybody knows that when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Right? But it's until that day. It's until that day. That's the clincher. But until then, we're in a battle. Until then, we got a job to do. Until then, we have things that God has for us. We're in the trenches. We're face to face with the enemy every single day, no matter what. And that's the way it will be. Yes, that's the way it will be until that day, whether you like it or not. So here's the second reality that comes out of this verse. Paul says we do not lose heart, but though our inner man is decaying. What does he mean by that? Second thing Paul is saying is that the externals of life are secondary and always will be. Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart. One translation says, though outwardly we are wasting away. We're wasting away. Did you know that the moment you're born is the moment you start dying? Every single day you have cells that die. Every single day. The moment you're born, you begin to die. Now that's kind of discouraging. The moment you're born, you begin to die. Well, you know, some of us are probably over two, I don't know. But at the same time, Paul reminds us here that we are wasting away, or we are decaying. We are decaying, as it says in the New American Standard. When he says we are outwardly decaying, he could be referring to the punishment of his own body that withstood all the punishment and all the trials and all the torture for decades. He could be talking about the stripes that were against him. He could have been talking about the stones that were thrown at him. He could be talking about the hungry days and the sleepless nights. He might be saying, well, I don't know how much more this old body can take. It's wasting away. Do you ever feel like that when you get up in the morning? I don't know how much more this old body can take. Some of us, we're pretty tough because we're still taking it. We're still taking more and more and more. And the Bible says we are decaying. We are wasting. See, our bodies were not made to last forever. Our bodies were not made to go for, you know, how old was Methuselah? 900 some years. Can you imagine living for 900 and some years? Can you imagine the number of wrinkles you'd have on you in all those years? I can't imagine. I was watching a piece this morning on Channel 6. I watched it for about a half hour, and they showed this. They had this story of this lady up in Rockland who is 102 years old, and she gets out and she goes lobster fishing every day at 102. And I can't imagine doing that. Can't imagine being that. But yet this lady, let me tell you, she's as sharp as a tack. And she is amazing, 102 years old. And she's still out on the waters out here fishing lobsters as often as she can. So we don't lose heart. Our bodies are wasting away. Our bodies are decaying. And that's just life. That's just the way it is. We can relate to this as we get older. And even without any kind of physical persecution, our bodies get tired, our health takes a downward turn, our energy diminishes, it's not like it used to be. We become increasingly aware that there are fewer days ahead of us than there are behind us. Maybe that is perhaps one of the most sobering realizations of all, that there are fewer days ahead of us than what's behind us. Paul could be talking literally here, I don't know, but there's a good chance he's speaking a metaphor when he says, outwardly, we are decaying. Outwardly, we are wasting away. He's not just talking about the physical body, he's talking about every aspect of life in the real world. He's talking about the culture which we live. He's talking about out-of-control situations that we find ourselves in. He's talking about emotional battles that we are experiencing. He's talking about the attacks of the enemy that are upon us day after day after day. That's what he's talking about. Paul is challenging us to remember that just like the body is not as important as the soul, the external things of this life, the physical things are not as important as the spiritual things. You see, we are in this world and we have to deal with the things of this world on a daily basis. But I love what Jesus says. In John chapter 17, he said, we're not of this world. We're not of this world. And as that hymn writer puts it, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. That's what we have to keep in perspective. And so if your hope is in the external things of life, if your hope is in government, if your hope is in the social fabric of this society, you better get used to the fact that it's not going to be around much longer. It's wasting away. All of these things are decaying away, the same as our bodies are decaying. It's impossible that any of these things would ever be enough, even if you have them in endless supplies. And here's the third thing. Oh, before that, I want to read this verse in 1 John chapter 2. Do not love the world or things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of possessions, is not from the Father, but is from this world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But listen to this. Whoever does the will of God abides forever. Abides forever. That's pretty important. This brings me to the third point. The third thing that we need to remember is this, that renewal, it's renewal that needs to happen on a daily basis. God wants us to be renewed daily. And if you look at the last part of this verse, let me read it again. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet, listen to this, our inner man is being renewed day by day. Our inner man is being renewed day by day. And when I read those words right there, that gives me great hope. That gives me great encouragement. Though outwardly we are wasting away, Paul says, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day by day. That's the way the Apostle Paul looked at it. I don't know if you've ever heard of Zig Ziglar or not. But Zig Ziglar, I think he's gone home to be with the Lord, but he was a motivational speaker. And everywhere he met, he always motivated people. to do things, to get involved, to be active-oriented more than anything else. But someone asked Ziegler, or someone criticized Zig Ziegler, saying that the problem is that motivation simply doesn't last. And Ziegler said, no, it doesn't. Neither does bathing. You think about that. It doesn't. Neither does bathing. And that's why you need it on a daily basis. That's why day by day by day, God says we need to be renewed spiritually. We need to be renewed by Him. It's the same with being renewed. It's not one day a week. And some people think that can be renewed only by coming to church on Sunday. Let me suggest to you that this is a day by day by day experience. You cannot be renewed by the Lord and His strength if you don't open His Word. You cannot be renewed if you don't spend time in prayer. You cannot be renewed if you're not together with other believers of precious faith. You cannot be renewed because it requires day by day activity. And that's all Paul is saying here. That's all he's suggesting. We have a tendency to run on empty as long as we can. We have a tendency to exhaust every resource until there's nothing left for us to go on. And almost a state of panic sets in. A state of emergency sets in. And then we say, God, give me a break. I need a second wind. Been there, done that. If you consistently wait until you're completely winded to take action, or if you consistently wait until the tank is empty and the needle is below empty, before you do anything about it, you'll always be on the verge of running out of gas. You'll always be on the verge of being left by the side of the road. You'll always be under the risk or the verge of emotional exhaustion, spiritual exhaustion, which only leads to despair and which only leads you or I to lose heart and to feel like throwing in the towel. That's where it's at. Next week, I'm going to finish this verse. I want to talk about renewing our minds. And I want to talk about renewing our spirits. And I want to talk about renewing our hearts. So pray for that message that I'm working on for next week. I just think this verse is too important for us to let go and to pass over. It's important, so we all have to come back down here next Sunday to hear the end of this. And hopefully that will bring some encouragement to you. So don't lose heart. That's what God says to us today. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Keep on keeping on. If you're here today and you need that kind of encouragement, if you need someone to pray with you, if you need someone to encourage you, please reach out to myself or any of our deacons or anybody that you look to as being persons of spiritual integrity. Please do that. We want to pray with you. We don't want anybody leaving this place this morning feeling like they're losing heart, feeling like they're giving up. That's not God's plan. That's not God's will. He wants us to keep on keeping on. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for this precious passage of Scripture. We do not lose heart. Even though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. Lord, we desire to be renewed. We desire to be revived. And so we pray for that revival this morning. Help us not to lose heart. Help us to be on track as to what you want us to do in life. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.